Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's a joke.
To the Crab Feast, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Another Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday already?
Another Crab Feast, both that.
Oh,
ass.
I love a Crab Feast.
Rough out of the gate there, man. Put a little WD-40 on it.
Try to
right
find
out,
you, man. Try to find you, player. Trying to find you, Feast the Nation. Jay Larson Comedy here. JayLarsonComedy.com. Jay Larson Comedy on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and MySpace, players. Good to be here with you, Rye.
Great to be here with you.
Feast Nation, I love you. And I'm just at home with my family. I'm not really doing stand-up. If I'm in town, I'll promote it for in-town dates, but I'm not going anywhere. I want to be home. Rye?
Ryan Sickler on Twitter and Instagram. Ryan Sickler Official on Facebook. RyanSickler.com. St. Louis, I will be there this Friday night.
Sup, St. Louis?
This Friday night, 11-6. I'm coming to the Lou at Blueberry Hill. Doors open at 8, show at 9. You can get tickets on my website, thecrabfeast.com, and moundcity.com. Reno, Sam Tripoli and I are doing a couple of shows. Well, I should say Nevada. Reno, we're going to be there on the 19th.
I'm at the state, man.
I'm at the state flight.
Yeah, we got one show.
Reno, the 19th,
man.
Vegas, the 20th. You can get info on my website and thecrabfeast.com as well. And December 26th and 27th, I'm at the Brea Improv. We're doing three shows right after Christmas. I'm working to keep it affordable. So if you live in Southern California and have family and friends in town for the holiday, bring them out. We'll have a lot of fun out there. For any and all Crab Feast info, thecrabfeast.com. Thank you so much for all your help with breast cancer awareness. You guys really are the best fans. And
it's nice to see you guys taking it, you know.
Yeah.
We put it out there so we can do something, and you guys put it out there so you can do something. It's nice to have the community that we have.
Yeah, so thank you, guys. We truly appreciate you. We'll be making a donation to breastcancer.org, and you can hit up the merch store today. All orders include free domestic shipping and a flat $10 international fee. And for those of you that procrastinate your Christmas shopping, don't
get on it early.
Start now. Use our Amazon link. Get on your Christmas shopping now.
We do. We're Amazon Prime now.
Hell yeah, I am too.
Amazon Prime, and you can get that delivered in 2 hours. You know,
I just saw that. I was getting ready to joke and say that
we've
shit will be here in like how? Where
is unbelievable? They must have like a storage facility.
2 hours.
Bottom line is, I'm always like 2 days before Christmas scrambling. I'm not going to be this year, man.
And yeah.
Don't you be. Go to the Amazon link.
And with
Crab
Prime,
Feast.
You can send it back free. Almost everything.
Dude, with Prime, I had a guy come over the other day and
I just look at him
and
be like, I don't want
shampoo my hair.
Premium episodes are available on iTunes and for Androids and non-iTunes users on Gumroad. Episodes are $1.99. And listen, we've been getting a lot of quite a bit about Google Play. We are going to be on Google Play. But Android users, you don't need, you can still listen to us. You can go,
come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, come on. A lot of you are hitting us up like, oh, for Android, you can listen right now. There's nothing stopping Android users from listening. You can go to the site. There's plenty of options. You can get an app like Stitcher and listen that way as well. Thank you for all the love on the Facebook fan page and the iTunes page. And make sure you follow All Things Comedy on social media. And one of the things that we've been getting a great response on that we're excited about is the video submissions that we've
been
doing.
Yeah, you know, we're working on a project. We've been getting some great videos out there from you guys. Keep it to a minute or less. Hey, listen, we know you ladies are out there. We know that you're out there. You just might be a little shy. Fellas, you've been hitting us up big time, and it's great. We'd really love to get a selection of what Feaster Nation's all about. So anybody out there who's got a fun, interesting story, give us a little bit about it and tell us about yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, shoot a video over us.
You know how we do it here? Mm-hmm. We travel, adventure stories, near-death experience. Doesn't always have to be a drinking story. Arrests, domestic and or abroad. Haunted stories, revenge stories, saving a life or having your life saved. Craziest thing you ever saw or witnessed. Whatever. We're looking for the best stories from the best storytellers. So if you're interested, send us around a one-minute video. Tell us who you are, where you live, and a little bit about your story. Send all of your submissions to crabfeastpodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect. Again, back this week, one of our favorite sponsors, touchofmodern.com. Hey, you guys want to be the trendsetter in your group. And by that, you want to have the coolest stuff and your friends be like, dude, where'd you get that? What are you wearing? Where'd you get that? touchofmodern.com is what everyone needs to be going to get your style on track. touchofmodern.com connects directly with top designers, timeless and unique products. Each item is hand-selected to grab your attention, which I've said this 100 times. So one of my favorite things about it is it's not just like, let's throw a bunch of crap on there.
That's
like,
right.
This is fresh. Let's get it, and we put it on, and it's not going to last long. That's another thing about it. The site, it's not something that's going to sit there and get stale on the shelf. It's there for a while. As soon as it runs out, they're like, boom, what's on to the next thing? They're curating this site. It's not just a bunch of crap. So what you need to do, you want jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear, sleek iPhone case, eye-catching new and vintage watches, which that's the other thing, right? It's not like they just have all these, like, brand new things. These are vintage watches you can get that you
Rolexes.
Think, yeah, like things you think you could only get like at an antique store or like at a jewelry store. They have some really cool stuff. New sales literally launching every day. TouchOfModern.com is the one website to discover and elevate lifestyle in a single click. Right now, our listeners get immediate access when they sign up at TouchOfModern.com. That's TouchOfModern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll all be different. And that's how life moves in the fast lane. I'll tell you someone else who moves in the fast lane. This week's guest, three-timer this week.
Yeah, this three-timer. Is pretty exciting right here.
And we are excited. He told us he keeps a list in his phone when he gets stories ready to tell. And that's always the best guest. You guys love him and you know him. Please welcome back on the Crab Feast. I mean, it's one too many times. That's for damn sure. But we're excited regardless. Please welcome back to the Crab Feast, Mr. Daniel Van Kirk, DVK.
DVK, welcome back to the Crab Feast.
So hey, good to have you.
Hey, Daniel.
Oh, I'm a three-timer. This is the third time. Three times too many.
Last time in your Earwolf Studios, as a matter of fact.
No, last time was here. First time was Earwolf Studios.
Three times a lady, dude.
Mm-hmm. None of us know what we're talking about.
Are you a Billy Ocean guy?
Billy, I mean, I'm not
Caribbean Queen.
Get out of my dreams and into my car.
Get into it, backseat baby.
Well, before we get, we have plenty to talk about with you. Plenty to talk about. I'm very excited. But before we do, please plug away.
Well, my name is Daniel Van Kirk. I'm a 3-time guest on the Crab Feast.
Well, 2 right now.
Oh, because it might not drop.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. If you're hearing this, the first part worked out. You can follow me at Daniel Van Kirk. When does this drop? I know you guys get that a lot. We don't know
yet. Deep, bro.
Okay. All right. Don't worry about it. Let's just say it's before
January. You
might be
kicking off 2016. No joke.
Oh, great. I'm in. Then the third week of January, I think that's like the 22nd, 23rd, I'll be up at Sketchfest doing a Wahlberg Solution on Friday night. And then Saturday, we're going to be doing a Scarboro Country County. It has yet to be determined how much of one show or the other we're going to do, but I'll definitely be doing that with the Sklars.
What's the difference between country and county?
County's good. The country is a show. It's the Sklars. They got a couple hot takes. They bring in a guest. They do an interview. Then the guest sticks around. They do a couple quick takes, and they're out. County is just hanging out with microphones.
Yeah. Podcast.
Like if we were sitting around having lunch right now, I'm like, did you guys hear about the girl that rode the turtle in Florida? And then we would just riff on that as we would in normal life. Usually what happens in writer's rooms before somebody says, all right, guys, we got to get some work done today. That part. So it's just the Sklars and me, and it's been both of you at numerous times.
You know what I want to ask, because I think the listeners would like to know?
Yeah.
One of the things I like about you, and there's not a ton of stuff,
sure.
But one thing is you do amazing impressions.
It's debatable.
Okay. Decent impressions.
Right.
But you're a great storyteller at the same time. Usually, like, guys, you know, but what is Wahlberg Solution? Because if people want to come out to it, I think it's a really cool show. Just tell me
it's
what that is.
It's essentially politically incorrect if it was hosted by Mark Wahlberg. Or even Bill Maher's show, I guess, a little bit, the one that he has now. What is it? Real Time with Bill Maher. So Mark Wahlberg invites his celebrity friends onto the show.
By the way, the way Mark Wahlberg is, He could do a show like this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not above it.
You need to get him on the fucking Wahlberg.
Dude, I don't understand what the deal is with Benghazi. Somebody comes over to your house and they start a fight with you, that's not your fault. You got to take them out.
Defend. You got to defend.
Get some baseball bats and some broken glass.
And Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie. Donnie, you go out first.
Wahlberg hosts it. Mr. Ryan Sickler, you saw the very first one at Bridgetown. And it's just different comedians being characters. Yeah. And then usually one comedian is themselves. You've done the show. You're on the most recent one.
I had a great time.
Which, when we were recording this, will drop soon. And they just come on. I bring real news topics and events, like real stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
And then we just break it down panel style and it gets dropped on Earwolf.
I was straight guy.
Yeah.
It's great.
You were. So it's a fun show.
Yeah.
People like
awesome.
It. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, good to have you back.
Hey, you know what? It's been a great show.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Why don't you go ahead and let the fans know where they can find you?
Validate your parking real quick.
Social media again, and we're out here.
At Daniel Van Kirk on Instagram. And then MySpace, too, Daniel Van Kirk. is yours still out there?
Of course.
I'm sure.
It is, right?
It's all still out there. I haven't logged on in years.
I logged in.
You still can?
It's a time capsule.
Is it?
I would love to do a show where you bring up comedians and get into their MySpace for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
And just start going through stuff.
Justin Timberlake still posting shit?
It's all still there?
Yeah, they reformat it all, but like all of your pictures and posts that you made and stuff are still there, but the cool glittery things with like a Perfect Circle song playing isn't there anymore. But yeah, you can see every song you ever put on your MySpace wall.
See, I wasn't very active. I mean, there's pictures and stuff, but...
MySpace comes up in one of my stories today.
Does it?
Yeah.
I want to start with Marshall Fields.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you when we wrapped last time, and you were like, "What that?"
We were like, "Why the fuck didn't you just tell that on the podcast?" Yeah.
Okay.
As by the way, a lot of comedians do.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as we're done, and they're like, "Oh man, there was this one time." We're like, "What the fuck?"
And I got caught in a 4x4 with an orangutan, and we're like, "Oh really? That's a story that just freaking escaped your mind."
Like, why are you? Yeah, what are you sitting on? That's what this tattoo means.
You know what's fun? I didn't know this, but Marshall Fields—that was initially the Beatles song before Strawberry Fields. It was Marshall Fields forever,
and then they're just like,
"That's a little too commercial."
Yeah. So Ringo, that's how Ringo wrote it.
Tell people what Marshall Fields
is.
It's the Macy's of Chicago, but now it literally is the Macy's of Chicago because they bought Marshall Fields. So on State Street in Chicago, that great street that Sinatra sang about, it's a city block. An entire city block is this store. They've got little windows they do for the holidays. People come on over and see and check them out. There's a huge green, probably it was copper, now it's green, clock on the corner of like Washington and State. And it's huge. I mean, it's 14 floors. So after...
Holy shit.
As I talked about in the last episode, I was a federal agent. Dude, we went through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so after 9/11 and they moved out to the suburbs and I couldn't be an agent anymore, I know.
I'm just going to stop being a federal agent.
Yeah, I had to turn in my badge. I remember I just wanted the guy, I might have said this, but I wanted my boss to just like throw me against the wall and call me a loose cannon, make me turn in my badge. But it was real like, yeah, just leave it there. And so I turned in my badge.
Put it in my paper bag.
Right. And I had a guy who I had met through people that I worked with there, and he wanted to become a cop, but he, as most people do, not most, but a lot of people who want to be cops, they get jobs in security. And so he was a secret shopper, a loss prevention officer.
I know all about loss prevention.
At Marshall Fields.
Losing shit my whole life.
At Marshall Fields. And so he said, oh, dude, you should come over here and work. You know, we're hiring seasonal people, and then they'll probably keep you on. And so I went over there and interviewed. Now, I'll break it down for people. Like I said, it's a city block. The basement floor, it's the lower floor, I guess, is housewares.
I was going to say furniture and shit.
There is, but this is literally all housewares, an entire floor of housewares, and then the other half of the floor is like a food court, okay?
It's like a Harrods then.
Yeah, and then there's access to the subway, the Chicago subway system. There's access to that through that lower level. It's a little pedway.
Oh, so you can snatch and grab.
Oh, that's a thing.
Snatch and grab, man.
Yeah. First floor.
We got snatch and grab in the basement, man.
First floor, you got coats. Now, there's a reason. I'm telling you all. There's coats. There's an atrium. There's where all your makeup is and all this stuff. There's big Christmas trees, right? And then every floor has, like, different themes to it. Kids are on five. There's an entire bridal shop on four.
And we got a snatch and grab in bridal.
They've had this stuff there since, like, the 30s.
Did he snatch or did he grab? He's doing both, man. He's snatching
and
grabbing.
What way? He's running, man. Get his ass.
God, man.
I am not running.
I forgot to say that he's running. I meant he snatched and grabbed and
if
ran.
He gets to the food court. He's out.
We got
to
snatch and or grab. So
he's on the L train.
You get up to the seventh floor. Now you got the Walnut Room. This is a 5-star restaurant. It's got this 40-foot Christmas tree in it. Everybody
go
comes
here
for the
holidays.
Yeah,
no shit. It's like a city itself.
It is. It is. And
it's a 5-star restaurant.
Floors 8 and 9, furniture showrooms. And I mean just furniture. You'd go up there and be like, oh, man, we got a homeless guy.
Wait, hold on a second. You're telling me the two furniture showrooms have furniture?
All over the place. Well, one of them is set up for the reason, I distinguish is because one is set up like showrooms, like this is your living room, all done. Yeah. The other is just literally random fucking couches all over the place. Now,
so it's like that shit upstairs.
Yeah.
This is how you could organize it.
What's on 10th
floor?
Man?
Offices. Okay. 11th floor? Offices. 12, 13, 14? Factory. Because they used to make chocolates up there, Frango mints, and they would make these, and this was an entire chocolate factory. This thing moved out in the mid-70s. Nobody touched it. This is like haunted. It just was creepy as shit.
Three
lights
floors.
Didn't work. Yes. Okay.
I heard they shut down. There was so many snatch and grabs going on. Up there.
You guys,
lock it down.
We would have cases. We're working there. We got people stealing. Like we had somebody stealing like Swarovski crystal and Fabergé eggs. And so they went on eBay, found one of the eggs, bought it, won the auction. Big day when we won the auction. Won the auction. Had it shipped.
Loss prevention, man, coming through.
Had it you're some normal person trying to bid on this thing, and unbeknownst to you, goddamn loss prevention is trying to outbid you by a penny.
I'm telling you got
to
get in on that. Yeah.
This guy's like, why is he going so high? It's not worth this.
So they have it delivered to somebody's house, and then they bring it to police station, and these idiots didn't wear gloves or anything when they put it in the box, so they had their fingerprints, and they ended up catching the people. We had guys who they would hide in the store, wait till about 3 a.m. when the only people there were the uniform loss prevention people who wore like little fake cop outfits.
Okay, now here's my question: how many of you are covering a 14-story building?
8 to 10 at a time, depending on the busyness of
really?
The store. Yeah. So, and you would literally just wear whatever you want, and you would walk around all day pretending to shop. So you became
for
good
how many
friends.
Hours a day?
Oh, 8 to 9. Yeah. Depending on how big of a, you know.
So basically one of you per floor because the other three.
But you
are
always
haunted.
Go on friends because you need to look like a couple of buddies or you need to look at a couple. See. So
did
and
you
then,
ever like find yourself actually just getting wrapped up in it and start shopping?
I found some great deals.
Hey, yeah, are you allowed to buy shit while
oh,
you're
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
I need batteries.
Oh, and the other thing is when you're loss prevention, your job is also that the people who work there that are stealing.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the people were stealing. Sure. And then you have incidents in the restaurant. We had an old guy fell into the grate of the escalator, just peeled his hand back.
Sure.
Yeah, but you have every, like you were saying, it's like a city. Everything is happening in this store,
yes.
okay? And everybody I'm working with wants to be a cop. So they are hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Binfa, this guy Binfa, hardcore about this
White
stuff.
Guy?
Nope. He was like an Arabic Spanish guy. And he just was like, don't fuck around. And then we had this other guy, Bill. Bill was like this big, like, third generation police department. And he was waiting to take his test. And he would, when I got there, he goes, you pick your desk, buddy. And I'm like, all right, I'll go over here. And he's like, do not sit there. That person got fired. That desk has bad juju. And so he was, and then they had a command center. It was like 7 35-inch tube TVs.
Damn.
Because they hadn't fitted yet. And you could see everything in the store. And 1 hour of your day when you weren't walking around was you had to rotate and be the person at the command center. Like, because everybody had radios.
Yeah.
So you and they had a code for everything, right? So like and you had a number. So my number was 81, right? So
nice, Randy Moe with a pattern.
Yeah, that's right.
81. What's your 20?
Send the freak down on 9. Yeah.
What's your 20? 81. And we don't have earpieces. You literally have the little like over the shoulder cop deal. We're like 81. What's your 20? I'm like
while you're shopping.
Yeah, but you'd have to hide it like in your jacket or
but
something.
But
like
I know
that.
Exactly what you're talking about because I used to wear one too. But that's, I mean, you had
that's
to wear
obvious.
A hoodie or something.
Right,
yeah.
So we would run it up like you're clipping okay. to your collar on
trying
your
trying to pick
shirt
up a girl
and
in like magazines. I was like, what's your 20? Like,
yeah.
Would you say every day something was stolen from that store. Had to
every
be, right?
Day.
Every day something
every
had to
day.
Be. There was never a day where nothing was taken.
And there were codes for the people who were in the store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So a white person was a 99. We had a 1099 over on Fifth Floor Children's.
Dude, I got a 1099 every year for like corporate gig, you know?
Black person, 1098.
Always
Hispanic
one less
person,
fucking racist motherfucker.
1097. 1096, Asian or other.
Or so, other.
Yeah. So you would say like,
I don't know, he looks Pan Pacific.
I got a 1098 female along with a 1097 male. They're currently walking through. And that, the whole store is broken up by quadrants. So like they're 2 East Randolph. East side of the building, Randolph side. Randolph Man. End. Yeah. And so you would say to everybody like, well, yeah.
South,
and then
South, Southwest
they
Randolph
had codes for everything.
Over here. I got you a 96, a yeah. 96.
Yeah. You 1019 me. They're like 1036. We got a 1036. That means we think that they put something in their bag. They had codes that you had to learn for every single thing. And I'm just a kid going to college, and I'm like, you guys
You're a federal agent, man.
Yeah, but even that was a joke. Yeah. I'm like, this is really intense. Like, really intense. So one day they sit me down. I've been there about a week. And we've had stuff of the guys stealing suits in the middle of the night. And they run. I mean, stealing like $5,000 in suits. Right?
Ever any loss prevention people steal?
Oh, at all. I'm sure it happens.
Yeah.
Wasn't me. Not on my watch.
Right.
So they go, hey, look, Dan, we didn't tell you this when we hired you, but there's another part of your job you got to take care of. And I'm like, okay, what's this? They're like, well, it's not a commonly known thing, but since the mid-60s, Marshall Field's has been an underground meetup for people looking to have sex. It's mainly homosexual sex. It's mainly guys, but it's guys and girls too. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, you know, it used to be that people couldn't come out. That's how our society was. That was a life you kept in the shadows.
Bill's breaking down society over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't for me to judge, but we can't have that happening over in the store. You know?
Caught two guys fucking in a nightgown rack last week.
So I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what are you
full mean? Blown snatching?
More of a grab and grab. So I'm
the
like,
guy and a girl, that was a snatching.
So I go. Now, if we're lucky, we're going to find ourselves a snatch and snatch.
That's a one.
We let them go. Let them play that out.
We watched that up on the monitor for about an hour.
Ask them to move left so that camera 48 can pick that up. So I'm like, really? They're like, yeah. But
we got a 1069 a couple of over it. In the men's suits department.
Well, code for everything, man. They have a couple of meeting places. So they say, well, interested parties, what they tend to do is they meet at the atrium, kind of feel each other out. Then they'll go to the second floor bathroom. That's your main bathroom, okay? And I'm like, all right. And they're like, so what you need to do basically is just every hour, just go in each bathroom on each floor and just make sure that nothing's happening there. I'm like, okay. So I do this for a little while.
It's been perfect for
I'm
you,
not
man.
Picking up anything. And one day, probably within my first 2 weeks of being there, I'm finally learning all their codes. You know, I'm 1019 from lunch. Means mm-hmm. you're back from lunch. If they ask me, I'm 1007. I'm on lunch, whatever. So I walk in the bathroom, nothing. Another bathroom, nothing. I walk into the children's fifth floor bathroom, and I open that door. And there is a 1097 going to town. 1098. And that 1098 had an anaconda of a cock. I've never seen a dick this big in my life. I mean, it looked like it was beating this 1097.
Wait, and 1097's Asian or other?
No, Hispanic.
Oh, Hispanic.
And the 1097 is down on his knees, and this 1098 just got his hands on his hips. And they're in front of the urinals. They're not even in a stall.
Oh, God.
I walk in, and I go, what are you doing? I come out.
Don't you know we can't come out in society?
I come running out. I go, 81 to base. 81 to base.
Like, base.
Go 81, go. And I'm like, oh, they're like, what's the code, 81? And I'm like, like, 81, give the code. I'm like, there's no code for what I just saw.
Oh my Dude. God.
I go back in. I'm like, gentlemen.
Gentlemen. Now they're gentlemen. They've got top hats on.
Gentlemen. Dude. They go flying past me.
Oh,
they both come
Jesus.
Running out. I come running after. I go, 81 to base. I'm following a 1097 and a 1098. 1097's going down the escalators.
I'm sort of chasing 1098 through the thing. 1097 is the middle of this atrium, going back and forth down the escalators, running. He ends up getting out. I'm chasing 1098. He's going down through the basket.
I would chase him too. That big dick, he can't be as quick. No way.
It is Christmas time. Okay.
Oh my.
Now remember how I told you
the first Noel.
Get that big dick, son of a bitch, right there at 98.
Ships come sailing in on Christmas Day. On
caroling.
Look, honey, a dwarf. So, elf. So then, so remember I told you we had uniformed security guards?
Yeah.
Okay. APO guards. That's the uniformed security guards. They're APOs, asset protection officers, because you can identify them. This 1088 comes running through men's cologne towards men's coats on the first floor, and all of a sudden APO Garza just comes around from the other side, leaps, tackles him over a table of Christmas presents into trees.
Shut your mouth.
There's video of it. Takes out two trees. And I'm like, oh my God, cool, because I've seen this man. I know what this guy's packing.
Yeah.
We take him back up to we got like little holding areas for people on the 10th floor where our offices are. And we take him in there.
I tackled the big son of a bitch in the goddamn fucking Douglas Firs, man.
We sit him down. He's like, come on, man. Let me go. I'm like, dude, he's doing the kid's bathroom, man. I'm like, the cops are on their way, okay? Now, there's something to know about if you're in downtown Chicago. That's District 1. And the cops who work District 1 don't have to deal with shit. Because almost no violent crime happens in District 1. It's
the
all
only
Michigan
district,
Avenue.
Probably.
Yeah, it's Michigan Avenue. It's like, there's pickpockets. I'm sure there's fights and stuff like that once in a while. But there's not not a neighborhood, really. So there's not a lot happening. So I'm like, these cops get here. I mean, you're gone, dude. You do this in a fucking, like, you can live whatever life you want to live, but don't do this in a bathroom, in a public place, let alone a children's floor. And,
you believe this, Bill?
I saw the whole thing. So the cops come walking in. I'm like, officer, how you doing, officer? He's right here. Cop walks in. The only thing this cop says to this guy, the only thing he cares about is he goes, how you doing, man? And like he's like, fine. And he's like, I just got to know. Did you nut?
Come on.
Shut. I was thinking in my head, but I'm like, no way, that guy's.
And he goes, no, man. And then he's like, don't seem worth it to me then. The cop, like, that's all the thing that he cared about. Dude, this happened all the time.
And if kids would have walked in, that dude would be automatically, both of them are sex offenders.
Oh, yes. This stuff happened all the time.
Did you nut?
We once called a lawyer who was Christmas shopping with his family. And he just was like, you guys go out, I'll do my own thing. Then he went into the bathroom and started fooling around with the guy. And then we had girls doing it too. One time, they were like, I feel dumb for doing this now. But one time they were like, 81, we think there's business going on in the third floor bathroom. And I'm like, all right. So I go in there, like, go in there.
Are you shell-shocked to go in again?
I'm like, what am I going to see here?
The first one, dude, is pretty jarring.
I'm like, I've never told this story. I go into the third floor, and they're like, go in there, just check it out. And I'm like, what do you mean to just walk in there? They're like, no, just go in there, like, sit down in a stall, just see if anything's happening. So I walk in.
Is it a men's room?
Yeah. I walk in, and, you know, there's just some little bit of activity in there, a couple guys, a couple stalls. I'm like, what the hell? So I go, I sit down, one of them, I don't even pull my pants down, just sit down in the stall. All of a sudden, I see under the thing, like, three little fingers come under there, and then, like, a little tapping foot, and I'm like, huh? And the guy, he does it again, and then all of a sudden, a little head pokes out from under, and it's this little 1097, and he's, like, smiling, like looking up at me, and I'm like,
I struck gold over here.
I'm like, he didn't want to be.
They got me.
I'm currently undercover in the stall and I'm being propositioned. Like, go with it, 81.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
Just don't nut. It's not worth it.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
He put his filthy fucking face down on that nasty ass.
I walked him out. I walked that guy out, man. There was a... I'll leave this story on this just because it's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. So we had a guy who... He reminded me of, like... Like Bernie Mac. He was APO 100. I don't even remember his first name, but he was just this elderly statesman 1098. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice guy. And, oh, he would come in after church sometimes on his day off just to see how his officers were doing. And just always to the nines.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Church
the
day.
Multicolored suits. It just looked perfect. And just one of the nicest guys. So one day he had to, like, cover somebody and work the third shift. Because, like I said, there's only, like, two or three officers there overnight. They just kind of hang out and make little patrols every once in a while. And so he's there on, let's say, a Thursday night. He does the overnight to Friday morning. Friday morning, a guy, it was 10:33, I think was his, or 10:30. His name was Chris, but 30 was his number. He comes up. He's the first one there. It's about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. He walks up, elevator, gets off on the 10th floor. Elevator opens. There's APO 100, this Bernie Mac gentleman of a man, up against the wall, shirt just like ripped, untucked, shredded, breathing. He's like, what the fuck? He looks to his left, and there's some just like shambles, kind of like tweaker looking guy asleep, just laying there, asleep. He goes, the fuck happened here? APO 100. Caught this guy in the store trying to steal shit about 2 o'clock in the morning. Took him up to the elevator to take him to the little holding room.
When they
got off the elevator, they started fighting. And they got into an all-out fight. He got out of his cuff or something. He got into an all-out fight, and they fought for 6 hours.
No,
and
fuck.
Yes, like they would fight until, Roddy, you know, when you Piper. get a fight, like, you tire out actually pretty
hell
quick.
Hell yeah.
They got,
once that adrenaline's out. It's,
so they fought until the adrenaline dumped, and they were exhausted, and then the guy would get up to go and try and get back to the elevator, take it out, and the APO would be like, oh, hell no. They'd get up, and they would just fight again for a while until they were too tired. There's tape of it, them fighting for 6 hours.
That's like, not even the surface.
Laying there against the wall, being like, don't you do it, motherfucker. You get up.
I still got some left.
I'm going to take your ass back down. You get your ass up, I'm going to take your ass back down. If the guy would go to get up to try to get back to the elevator to get out, and APO would hold like, son of a bitch.
Shut up, dude. That's badass.
Why, when he was down, wouldn't you just cuff him at that point?
They were in the middle of a fight. I don't know, man.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he couldn't get in the holding room. Like, I'm just going to hold you in this elevator, and that's where you're going to wait.
Can you imagine, though, fighting somebody so long that it becomes a deal where you're taking rounds? You're like, we got a break for that. We got a break for that.
Yo, let me take a time out here, man. Let's go. Listen, let's hit the food court. We'll grab a snack. Get back at this.
Hydrate, man. Yeah.
Before we leave this, I have some questions.
Yeah.
One, the dude that tackled the guy into the Doug Furs.
Yeah, APO Garza.
Yeah. Was he like, did you guys watch his video and like replay like 100 times?
Oh, 100 times. People who were off
was
that day were like, come in here. Come in here. You got to see APO Garza take this son of a bitch out.
Did he knock any of the gifts? Go ahead.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry.
I said, like, was he in there admiring it, too?
Oh, hell, yeah, like, he full extension.
He's got a reel, dude. He's got a reel.
He's like, you know, in his mind, he's like, this is probably the only chance I'm ever going to get to tackle
part of
somebody
me is like,
over a table.
He played special teams for the Bears for like 2 years off that.
He'd have missed tackle, man. Yeah, he probably timed it up. Be like, I'm going to time this motherfucker up to the trees.
I got this guy.
Did he knock anything off the gift table?
Yeah, they cleared the whole thing. Yeah. For the rest of my life, I'll never forget.
Those
there
APOs.
Is no code for what I just saw.
Dude, that is great.
What about the Chocolate Factory? Did you guys go hang out with
there? Yeah.
I mean, is it still that store?
It's probably,
still there?
I mean, Macy's owns it now. It was Marshall Field's when I was there.
Yeah.
But Macy's owns it now, so I don't know if they've cleaned it out or gutted it. But literally, it's like somebody just kind of picked up in the 70s and left. So there's weird decorations and stuff, but since it was built in the, I don't know, probably 40s or 50s, it feels even older than that because it's just all this old machinery and it's just straight up completely abandoned.
So it's closed to the public, but you had access, obviously, because you were...
You would go up, and no, you could get... People could find ways up into that. So we would sometimes have to close and be like, hey, we heard somebody was walking around up there. And like you were saying, we would have on the first floor, people would come in off that pedway from the subway, grab like three mixers and
snatch
go running
and
right back out.
Bang.
Yeah. The amount of different things... I don't know if it's smart to say this, but I'm currently writing a pilot about my time there.
I mean, thank God.
Because it's kind of like, it's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine meets The Office, because you can't hire,
or
you've got to look like a regular
normal
people.
Coming out?
Mm-mm.
Saying it's like takes place in a superstore,
okay.
But this is different. I don't think it's...
Because these are all like wannabe cops. Oh, guys, it was.
But shit, I don't know any cops that would have done with those. What that 6 hour fight? Who's doing that?
I think after a while it became a point of pride.
That guy was like, "I'm not letting this motherfucker go."
Goddamn. And if you knew him, you know, like with like a, that, he always had the nice, like not too big but not too small gold bracelet. That kind of guy, just the perfect around. I'm like, I told that motherfucker, go shit yourself. Like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man.
Reminds me of the dad in, Family Matters?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Carl?
Was that Urkel?
Yeah, Carl.
Yeah, the dad. The cop, man.
Yeah. And also Die Hard?
Oh, right. Man, I crushed
it. I'm trying to help you out here, Roy. Love Die Hard. Favorite Christmas movie?
What do you want to talk about next?
Well, okay.
On this list here we have.
I'd love to tell you guys about the first. Well, Mancation is pretty great. So we talked about Mancation.
Yeah, it's like you and your bunch of buddies go up and get naked, whatever you guys, what do you do?
we get naked right away.
We drive up. Like 14 guys?
Somebody's done that. We had our weekend. Like this isn't the last one because we just had it, but this is the one before. And when this happened, it was, you know, those deals where you're like, I'm so pissed off right now. And then about a day later, you're like, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm using that. So my buddy, Jeff.
So real quick, if you don't know, Mancation is when you and like 12.
Oh no, you had it right.
Right.
It's 16 guys, and every year we go up to my family's cottage. It's a little shack of a place. It's an hour north of Madison, Wisconsin, and it's the one time of the year that we all get together. About 10 years ago, we were like, hey, everybody's moving.
And you go all the way back to what, middle school with these guys, high school?
Grade school.
Grade school.
Yeah,
okay.
I think the least of us have known each other 20 years.
Wow.
And so we get together, we do this, and it's fun. We do themes. We've had... let's see, we did a Mexican fiesta once, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody just kind of like dressed up. We had a piñata that we all hit. We've done like superhero themes. We've done neon themes. And you just dress in whatever you think that means to you. And then we usually go like tubing. We'll go like an all-you-can-eat fish and chicken. It's just a good time.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like that one weekend where you're like, you know what, this is really going to hurt. But for the next 2 days, I'm 22.
Yeah.
And so we go up there. We do that. We had a year. This is how you knew that Jeff had derailed. So we're at Good Old Days, eating fish and chicken. It's all you can eat, fish and chicken, German potato salad, roasted potatoes, all the fixings.
I love that it's Good Old Days.
Oh, yeah, all the fixings.
Is this open all year round or just in the summer?
All year round.
Got it.
But I mean, you know, hitting time is summer.
Big time.
Yeah. So we go there, and I always feel bad because I'm like, Van Kirk, party of 16, and you can just feel, I'm like, oh. So... They always put us in the back, much like every wedding I've ever been at with this group of friends. We're always in the back. They put us in the like the back corner. We're sitting there and we're eating food. And this poor waitress, you know, she's like, you guys need anything else? And Jeff's just like, more fish. And she goes, okay. And there's Leah's in one of them, like, Jeff, why don't you be nice? You know, you don't yell at her. He's like, what does it matter? She's just a bar wench. And I'm like, no, dude. She's
so this is
friggin'. But he's hammered. I mean, we're all like hammered. And so, and he's joking around.
What day in the Mancation is this?
Friday.
Okay.
First day.
Day one.
We end up at Scherenberg's, which is a little resort on the lake. And Jeff starts playing Fuck, Marry, Kill with women on the other side of the bar, and to the point where they're like, we can hear you. And then he's like, oh, real sorry about that. So he leaves. We're back at the cabin, and I do that. I feel like, Larson, you're more for one of these. Sickly, you guys are both in on this. I walk into the cabin. I say, who wants a beer? I get four beers. Four people want beers, but I grab five. Walking back up, I pass them around, and then I drop one in the fire, unopened.
Uh-huh.
Two guys see me do this. They tell everybody else. Corey and Brad see it. And me, and we all kind of move back because we know in about 10 minutes.
Oh, that's hello.
That is classic.
So we sit there. All of a sudden, about 10 minutes later, you hear, embers everywhere. Okay. And everybody who didn't
this
move,
is
like seven other guys, is like, dude, my leg's on fire. My leg's on freaking out. Everybody's freaking out. I look across the fire. Jeff just sitting there in a white patio chair, embers on his legs, and he's just sleeping. Not even moving.
Oh, my God.
Right? Now, he and another buddy.
Still eating fish, man.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's all he could say.
So he and another guy, Mike, they had gotten a little room. They're like, you know, cabin's getting pretty cramped. We'll just get a room down at the resort. So Mike's like, hey, man, you got to, like, let's go, Jeff. Nothing out of Jeff. Okay. Jeff, let's go. Now, this is something maybe you guys have done, but you know your level of friendship. He goes, Jeff. Smacks him in the face. Jeff doesn't move. He goes, all right, I'm leaving you. So Grant goes and takes Jeff's room. So they leave. And then we all leave. And we all go inside, start playing cards. Just leave Jeff out there. All of a sudden, my buddy Brad Messer, he brings a little tent. So he has his own little, you know, outside. He doesn't have to mess with anybody. He goes, guys. He comes running in. Guys! Guys! And you can tell by the tone, it's not an emergency, but it's funny.
And something you do not want to miss.
Yeah, exactly. Guys! Jeff just Chris Farley'd the table outside. Now, there's a patio table next to the fire, and I walk outside, and Jeff is like, ugh. He's like the Creed guy coming up out of the mud type deal, and he's picking himself up off of the table, and it is legs are just in every direction, all four of them going every direction. The fire's next to him. He gets up. I go, what are you doing, man? He's like, ugh. And he's at that where he can't talk, you know? And then he just starts peeing. Takes it out, just starts peeing. He starts peeing the backwards walk towards the fire. So I grab him by the waist and I just spin him all the way around. And then he just keeps walking and peeing. Then he walks to the side of the...
How'd he look compared to the dude in the bathroom?
You know, he do some work. he starts walking to the side of the cabin. And we have one of those... this is like old school, but it's a clothes hanger. But it's self-contained. It's almost like a circle, looks like a up-down spider's web type of deal. He walks and he gets stuck in it, and his head's in it, and his arms, wait. And he just starts going around a circle
for your laundry.
Yeah.
I know
what
you're talking about.
Yeah, and he's just stuck in a circle like a broken merry-go-round, like going around this thing. And then he gets out and he walks straight through the woods to the cabin next door, and these people are in there sleeping, and the wall that he's on. Is their bedroom. And I go, Jeff, get back here. And he's like a Yeti, like just doing the full stride, like through the woods. And then he gets to their cabin and just starts banging on the wall. I'm like,
I don't know what he wants. He said, more fish.
I don't know.
Fish. Get him some.
He starts banging.
Give him fish.
Banging on the wall.
I think it's a big
Jeff, get over here. I grab him. I walk him back into the cabin. Right as we walk into the cabin, there's a pulled-out couch. Neil's in there sleeping on it. And I throw him down in there. And I go, sleep here. Figure night's over. I take a shower.
What time of night is this?
By now?
Yeah.
2 a.m. 3 maybe? I get in the shower. Well, I change. I get in the shower. I get out of the shower. I just get on my shorts and a t-shirt, and I just start hearing bang, 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 bang. And I'm like, what the? Is somebody banging on the fucking door? Who?
What, how could this be happening in vacation? How could this possibly be happening
in
vacation?
Everybody's in bed. So I walk out, and we got a solid 35-inch screen tube TV, right? And Jeff is at the end of the pull-out couch, up against it with one hand on it, banging it into the wall because he's trying to steady himself while he pees all over the wall and then and then the speaker, right?
Oh, my
into the
God.
Thing. And now there's also, we do trophies in our league, and there's a trophy. And it's
what
the,
league?
The thing is, the Mancation, we're also on a fantasy league together.
Okay.
So one of the trophies is like a big star, like a more you know type star, and that's like the point. I mean, it's right there, though. He's peeing on that, too. And I go, Jeff, no, no. And I go walking up, and I try to grab him, and he won't let go of the TV, and he knocks the trophy off, and I watch one of the tips of the stars go down and go into his shin and just like scrape it straight down. And you're like, and then he had that moment, even to me, where I'm mad, but I'm also like, that's really going to fucking hurt tomorrow. And so I throw him back down on the bed, and he falls back down on the bed, and it's like the Bellagio fountain.
I was going to say, is he still peeing?
Still going.
The Bellagio fountain.
It's still going. And I'm like, what? And I look over, and on the other couch is my buddy Aaron. And I go, Aaron, you see this shit? And Aaron goes, Dude, I've been watching the whole fucking time. I saw him when he got up to pee on the TV.
And in the video monitors, man.
I'm like, thanks, Aaron. Thanks, dude. So then Jeff, he sort of cleans himself up. Then he starts fighting with Neil. Jeff's got a beard now, and Neil's like, that's my fucking blanket. And Jeff starts yelling, I'm the captain now from Captain Phillips. And then he finally passes out. And the next day, I get up, and I'm like, you're fucking disrespectful, dude. And he's like, oh, I'm the bad guy?
Does he not remember any of it?
Remembers everything. Oh, I'm the bad guy now? Because I had a little bit of fun. I'm the bad guy now? And I'm like, you get over there, you fucking clean that carpet up. And he was
carpet
like,
up there.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, I'll do it, but I just don't understand why I'm the bad guy, because I'm one guy here that wants to have a good time. Dude, we have never, ever let him live that down. That's just like a small, a power ranking of people who have gone nuts at Mancation, and he's in there, but he's not the only one.
He's not number one.
No, everybody's gotten into it.
But I mean, the older you get, the less you're having events like this, and there's always that one, my buddy Eddie.
Oh, and then it lasts for 5 years.
Yeah. My buddy Eddie, we went to his house one time, there was four of us from college, and we went to his house. He's got a nice house in New Jersey. In college, he was Eddie and Monty and Big Daddy, and now he's Edward. Or Ed,
you know,
he's been in the business world for a long time. He's doing well. One weekend, we were all out there at his house, and he's like, "Oh, we'll play wiffle ball in the front yard." His little kids driving around. He's got a little electric pickup truck, you know. And so we're just drinking beers in the front yard, playing wiffle ball. The guys, the girls are inside. We're just having a good time. Then I'm getting a little tipsy, and I'm like, "Oh, let's start . We're in a nice neighborhood." I just start throwing my beer cans on the ground, hucking them. Just let's trash his yard. But then he's just having his son cruise around a little Jeep, picking him up. And then he would say, he had a cooling driveway. He'd be like, go get us some sodas. And he'd bring him sodas. So we're just drinking throughout the day. This is his house, P.S. We end up at the fire pit out back, nice little fire pit. He's putting his feet up, tips the fire pit over, okay? He gets yelled at by, we're like, dude, dial back. He's like, come on. I'm just saying, come on. He's got flip-flops on still. You know
oh,
what
come
I mean?
On.
So then we get the fire back under control. We got him calmed down. Boom. Knocks it over again. We're like, dude, you're going to set your own house on fire that you've worked so hard to have. He's like, relax. Come on. Come on. And he's just always, come on. Come on. He doesn't realize what's going on. Next thing you know, we see him go in the kitchen. We're all watching from outside, watching in. He's like going through the fridge. Like a grizzly bear snuck in the house.
There's gotta be some more fish in here.
And then we see his wife come into the kitchen and just start
Edward!
Giving it to him. Yeah. Just giving it to him. And we see him come on. We see him start with his come on to her.
I love that downplaying drunk level where you downplay everything. Come on, come on.
Yeah. And then you slowly saw him realizing oh shit, I'm getting told right now. And then he totally I think we put him to bed, and I think everyone else just hung out. But it was because we're older, and you know, he's living a life. He was the first one to have kids, so he was dad guy before any of us. And so this was we're letting loose, man. I got it planned.
He couldn't wait.
Oh man, he almost took his whole house down.
Oh, I love that.
So this cabin, your family's cabin, this is the same cabin you guys had that adoption?
Yeah. Okay, so this is a fun story. We had a weekend. Have you guys ever had many times in your life where you were dealing with animals that weren't domesticated? You ever been on a farm?
Yeah.
Spent time on it where you're you got to work with the animals and stuff like that?
Well, a day. I wouldn't call it time. Okay. I spent the day.
Well, we had a weekend where up at the cabin, a goat showed up that nobody knows where it came from or who it belonged to. So we just started calling it Gary.
Gary the goat, man.
Gary the goat.
You adopted Gary the goat.
And it's Labor Day weekend, maybe.
Jeff tried to light on fire, man.
Peed on it.
Yeah.
Got him
wasted. This goat would just hang out, and we have an old school Weber grill, and after we'd get done grilling
charcoal.
The goat would get up on top of it and stand there.
No way.
Like the heat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my aunt.
People think Jeff's fucked up. Check out Gary, man. Gary, when you get on the grill,
get the fuck off the grill.
Gary,
I'm the bad goat. Now I'm the bad goat.
Gary, I like you, but you're crazy, man. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
You're crazy. So the goat also seemed to have a mild annoyance with my aunt and uncle's two Bichons, their little dogs. And these dogs were just bitches, just little shitty dogs. And every once in a while, the dogs would go up and try and fuck with this goat, and the goat would just turn on and ram them and just send these dogs end over end.
Shut up.
And my Uncle Ken hated these dogs. So one time, that dog sent that or that goat sent that dog like 15 feet just rolling end over end.
Would he kick him?
No, he headbutt him and run him.
Man.
And my Uncle Ken's got a Bush Light in one hand. He leans over and he goes, I fucking love that goat.
Gary!
Hey, Gary!
Why you shoot, Gary?
Somebody get Gary a beer, man.
Rock and fire, Gary. Rock and fire.
This is also the same. This is also the same night as my first fight. But we can lead into that from this. So we have Gary, and Gary's just hanging out, man. And then all of a sudden, my cousin Billy, who's now he's a great guy. He's a pastor, but as a little kid, he really liked to set things on fire.
Cousin's Billy.
Yeah, yeah.
But the goat's Gary.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Billy.
Yeah.
Goat.
Yeah. Well, now that I think about it, it's a great pairing because they had some sort of like
they were symbiotic
relationship. Yeah, dude. Billy could walk up to Gary and just kind of put his hand out, and then the goat would like rub his nose on Billy's hand. Like, what the fuck's going on with Billy and Gary?
Why? Because otherwise, that goat could be dangerous to you guys, right?
Sure, yeah.
How big? Was this a full grown
goat? No, man. No.
Little baby goat?
Yeah, but he stood on top of Weber. He couldn't be too big.
He would just jump like straight up on it and then just stand there. It was a cool. I'd probably say maybe weighed like 30, 40 pounds, Tom.
Okay.
All right.
So,
little guy. Made a hell of a cheese, though. Man.
Now, at this time, that's nice. Gary's dead, man.
How do you know? Not fuck around those grills.
At this time, my cousin is dating a guy, and they have a couple of kids, right? And I'm the.
Wait. They have a couple kids together, and they're just dating?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not like a previous marriage. They have the kids?
No, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Kids
might
there?
Have been engaged.
I don't know if it's going to work
yes,
out.
Kids are there.
We got a couple kids
are there.
Their oldest son, the first great-grandkid in our family, I'm his godfather. So it's my godson, right? So my godson's dad, okay? He's there, and he's one of these guys that's like, you know these people that... I have this, it's probably not a theory because I'm sure it's commonly known, but some people get in fights when they drink because they want to get beat up. Like that's,
they don't like themselves or
yeah,
they
got just demons and shit. You know what I mean? Like they want to get hit. Like they want that. And he would do this thing where he would just walk up to you and like get real close and be like, I know your whole family fucking hates me. I know you.
I love this guy.
Fuck everyone from HBO. They want me to marry. I ain't fucking marrying like that. I know you guys think I'm a real piece of shit and everything. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care what any of you guys think.
And you're like, okay, buddy. All right, man. All right, all right.
Why don't you go hang with Jeff, man? Right. You guys are the same speed.
Pull a bullseye out of this motherfucking yeah. back.
Gary, did you fucking hear what that guy was saying?
Hey, why don't you hold one of those dogs right there?
Grab both of them.
Gary!
Why don't you get between Gary and the Weber grill? He'd be like, this was kind of his thing. He'd be like, oh, motherfucker, you fucker. You guys, and like, he's kind of, your earlobe is in his mouth.
Is he a good guy?
No, he's a piece of shit. Okay, he might be a good guy now. I don't know. I hope he is. I hope he is. I don't know him too well. But at this time in his life, things weren't going well. So
you know what he was? He was right.
He was right. Right on the nose with that one, man.
But like, the thing is, in my family, we don't nobody, and the same is true for Mancation. Like, we don't have angry drunks. There's nobody's like that.
Yeah, and fun drunks for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. And or people who just drink until they're like, I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah.
And so you know, we kind of
this TV, and I'm gonna turn in.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a dump in the microwave real quick, and then I'm gonna call it night. You guys cool with that?
I'm a little tired, man.
But I mean. We just, you know, we just don't have it. So we'd even say to him, like, hey, man, you know, it's all right. We're all just having a good time.
Yeah, you guys are.
You got some shortcomings.
You guys are having a good time talking shit about me when I'm not here.
Nobody's doing it. You know that voice you have to do to drunk people? Nope, nobody's doing that, man. Yeah. Everything's okay. We're good. We're good. Everything's good.
He's just staying right here. It'd be good if somebody wanted to fucking throw down right now.
Like, okay, well, you're turning me on. You're sucking my ear.
I see you in the men's bathroom over at Marshall Field.
It's Saturday, and a tradition in my family is Saturday's barbecue chicken. So we make the barbecue chicken. Gary's out on top of the grill, and everybody's inside doing like family prayer. You know, our family prayer is just this little short thing everybody says all the time. We're halfway through this little family prayer.
This is at the cabin?
Yeah. Halfway through this family prayer, and all of a sudden you hear, oh, Gary's in the cabin! Gary's in the cabin!
My cousin's boyfriend. I thought I was part of the family.
My cousin's boyfriend is like half drunk, like picking up the goat's like, and he's like dragging him into like the screen door, and like Gary's in the now. Gary's like, you know, doesn't
he's loose.
Know.
Loose. Yeah.
Gary's like, oh,
really scared
like,
through that.
Like for a goat, he's gone into the abyss. Like he's like, oh, I don't know.
The indoors, man.
Yeah, yeah. So we get Gary back outside, and then I'm like, oh, hey man, are you all right? He's like, yeah, dude, I'm good. You know, I'm just trying to fuck around. Everybody here wants to have fun and stuff. And I'm like, okay. So then I go, hey, you guys, let's all go to the bar. Let's all go down to Buffalo Lake Lodge.
Had you eaten the chicken yet?
Yeah, we all ate.
Okay.
So we go down to Buffalo Lake Lodge, and it is my cousin.
Gary, stay back.
Yes. I'll meet you guys. It's like that old Sandler bit. All right, you guys go.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here dealing with the old man. You got the big day of kicking the shit out of me tomorrow. So we get to Buffalo Lake Lodge. It's like Cheers. There's the style of the bar. It's in the round. So it's in the center of the bar. Everything's around it. And then up at the front is Connie Cool and Cool Nancy. And they're doing the karaoke.
Okay.
And Connie is a guy.
Okay.
And he's known to, if he really likes your song, he'll jump in with his own microphone and harmonica and start playing along with you.
Thank God.
Yeah. And then Cool Nancy, you know, she's just working the ones and the twos.
So wait, if you're pumping and you're not doing a good job, you don't get grace.
No, he don't get
up. Oh, yeah.
No. He sits there with his brandy old
That's
fashioned.
That's how you know when yeah, you're doing right? a good job.
So we walk in.
Give me my harmonica.
It's like three of my cousins.
Oh shit! You do Billy Joel?
Yeah.
You do Billy Joel?
Oh man, he's playing Life by the Drop.
So it's like three or four of my cousins, my one cousin and her boyfriend has come, and then it's my mom, and we're all there.
My
godson. Yeah. No, they're back at the cabin with my aunt and uncle and grandma, and we're all there and everything, and then I just noticed right away, like now he started doing this shit with people at the bar, right? Like.
Oh, you fuckers in my town here, you think you're yeah.
And I walk over, I'm like, hey, give me this. Okay, just pound one of these waters for a little bit. Like, sorry about him, man. I'm real sorry about that. He's like, yeah, I don't know what that shit's all about.
You singing that Bon
That's about the lowest.
About me. I ain't fucking wanted dead or alive. Nobody wants me. So... Never worked in no dock.
Yeah, but you know when a guy who's on the cusp of being an old timer who could still whip your ass is mm-hmm. he says something like, "Yeah, I don't know what that shit's about." You can that's his warning flare. Like yeah. I'm just gonna let you know, I don't know what that shit was about. Yeah. You're like, real sorry. Yeah, we'll go over here to the other side. So we go over there to the other side, and then they're like, "Oh, we got Danny Van Kirk out here." So I'm up there at the front singing, "I love this bar." I'm singing Toby Keith. Yeah. Everybody's going into it.
Yeah, waiting for the harmonica.
Nothing.
Oh,
and
man.
Then he comes in though. He starts joining me, harmonica, right? And we're all singing. We're all having fun. And then as I'm up there singing, I watch the boyfriend walk around to the other side of the bar.
I hate this bar. This ain't my kind of place.
Yeah.
So,
the opposite lyrics the still, whole way
yeah,
through.
Yeah. And he walks over, and I see him just kind of start, like, talking to a guy, like, walks up with a tap
Touch
on his shoulder.
The same dude? Oh,
and I'm like, we
the
need
same
to.
Same dude?
I'm like, Cool Nancy, we got to get through this song.
Like, I'm a blaze.
Running around with a big smile on my face. And so, no, different guy.
Okay.
Different guy. So then he walks back over and he sits back down. I'm like, okay, everything's good. And then I finish out the song and my family and oh yeah, whatever. And I walk back down. I go to the guy he talked to. I go, hey, is everything all right? And he goes, I'm just saying, you fucking offered to buy a man a drink, you better fucking do it rather than say it and walk away. And I'm like, you know what, sir, I'll take care of your drink. And now I'm starting to feel like I'm babysitting this guy. This is not what we go up to the cabin for, right? So then.
First, it's Jeff. Now,
yeah, Jeff's all good. Jeff's been where I've been before too. But I go. I'm real sorry about that. I'll buy a drink. But the guy's still like, I'm just saying, you don't fucking tell him, man. You're gonna buy him a drink, and then you just walk away and don't do it. And I'm like, I'm really, really sorry about that. So I go back over. I go up to the boyfriend. I go, hey, man, come on, dude. You lock this shit down. He's like, you gonna tell me what to do? I'm like, I don't know. Did you trick me into this?
What's he drinking the whole time?
Well, he's drinking whiskey straight, right? And but he also has a beer he's going with. So then he starts arguing with these bowlers. these guys who just got back from a bowling league. And everybody in a bowling league
know what the fuck a turkey is. I had barbecue turkey today.
Everybody in a bowling league has a past. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah.
Like, you've settled down, and now you're like, I'm just bowling right now, man. I put those days behind me. Yeah, don't ask me what this tattoo means. So, the guy, one of the bowlers goes, you know that guy? And I'm like, well, yeah. He says, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't know how old I am or whether or not he gives a shit, but I don't care what age you are. You don't fuck with a Marine. And I'm like, okay. Jesus. All right. I look at my family. I go, we're done. We're done. Everybody out. Everybody out. I kicked my entire family out
of
the bar.
Like, what the fuck is he doing?
I also like that he went and picked all the people that would absolutely fight.
Yes.
He didn't go to one.
This is his third almost fight.
He didn't go to one person in that bar where they would have just been like, oh, okay.
It's like drug addicts. They know within 2 seconds at a party, they know who has
every person to go to. Yeah. Yep.
So I go, everybody out, right? And everybody leaves except for the boyfriend. And I go, hey, man, we're done here.
I'm gonna be done when I finish this fucking beer. I'm up for a spare right now.
So I grab the beer, I pound it.
His beer.
I go, you're done now. Now you're done. And he goes, oh, you tell me what to do. I'm like, it's time to go, dude. And he gives me the double push, right?
Oh yeah.
So then I go, Danny, this is not what you want to do. So I wait for him to come at me again, thinking to myself, this is not what I want to do. But he comes at me, I grab him, double hook him under both arms. Because I had never been in a real fight at this point in my life, but I wrestled for like 9 years. So I know how to move a person. Mm-hmm. So I double hook him under both arms. I come walking in, my cousin Ben. Ben comes flying back through the door. What's going on? Oh my God! Gary's in the bar!
Gary's in the bar.
Ben just holds open the door. I walk him out and I throw him into the parking lot. And it's a gravel parking lot. Mm-hmm. And he turns around. Yeah, he turns around and goes, you motherfucker, don't do this shit to me. I'm like, dude, I just got you out of 3 different fights in there. I'm trying to have a weekend with my family. You brought Gary into the cabin. This is enough, man.
He's an outdoor goat, man.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he kind of rips back, comes around, hits me.
Face?
But I like ear.
Oh.
Side of the hand, ear, you know?
Yeah.
And then at that point, I don't remember a lot, but I just went
and
dropped him.
Unload on that face.
Yeah. Now we're all done. You're getting the fight you wanted. I'm sorry you had to wait all the way until Christmas, but it's finally here.
Yeah.
And so I drop him. He gets up. And he spits in my face.
Oh, hell no.
Right?
I'd take my belt off and choke him.
I know.
I would.
Oh,
you earn a belt?
He earns it.
I got a belt right
here. He earns it. And, he spits in my face. I grab him by the throat. And I put my right leg behind his right leg. So it just kind of sidestep him. And I just, boom, right out into that ground, right? Then he starts to struggle with me. And I grab... I put one knee into his ribs, and I grab both his arms, and my elbows are, like, up by his face, and I'm holding him down there, and I got my knee into his ribs, and I'm holding him down. I'm like, you done? Are you done? And he goes, and I take that elbow, and I put it up on the side of his face, and then I just crank it over, and I rub the side of his face into the gravel parking lot, and I'm just holding it down there.
What's your cousin doing this whole time?
Dude, my whole family's like, oh, my God! Here's
the thing, but like, no one's breaking it up.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, he's earned it.
Right.
And no one in my family, I grew up, I'm 8 years older than my youngest brother. I'm 3 years older than my brother, who's just the one just younger than me. And I kind of had to, we didn't have a dad, really, so.
You lived with your cousins for a while, didn't you?
They lived next door.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I've always been big. I've always been a big guy. So I remember being like 15, 16 years old. Like, I'm kind of jealous of you having a twin because you guys could probably unload on each other.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that if I ever unloaded on one of my cousins or my brothers, they'd never fight with me again because I would unload on. I was bigger than all of them. So they've never seen me be violent, like really violent. And
really?
No, we've wrestled around, like, you know, like I would fight with my brother, but I would end up where I would literally just hold him where he couldn't move, which is the most frustrating thing. But I never punched them, and so now I felt bad because they're watching me punch this dude. And so I got him down, like, facing the thing. And I'm like, are you done? He's like, you get off of me. I know you guys hate me so much.
gave you that idea?
And I'm just working that face into the side of the thing. And then I go, I'm going to get up. And your ass better stay here or I'm going to get back on top of you. And so I get up and he like stays there for a second. And then my family like throws him into, we had two cars. They put him in one of the car and they drive off. And now my cousin Billy with the hanging with the goat area, and my cousin Bobby, they're brothers. They're like, come on, ride with us. Well, before we take off, the owner comes running out and he's like, cops are coming. And I go, hey, whoa, I didn't do shit. And he goes, oh, no. They're coming for him. You can have a job if you want one. Been working there 7 years. No. So we get into the car and they're, and my cousin Bobby's driving and he's like, he's a real nice guy. And as I said, Billy went on to be a pastor. He's a real nice, even-tempered guy. And I'm like, God, I feel so bad, guys. They're like, should we go over to the cabin? I'm like, no, we can't go to the cabin because it's just going to continue there. Like, yeah. He's all hopped up, you know?
But he's back in the parking lot still, right?
They know they left in another car. So we're in separate cars. So I'm in a car with Bobby and Billy. The guy who I beat up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's with my mom and my cousins, okay. And they've head back to the cabin. And I go, no, we can't. I don't want to go back there. And I feel horrible. And I just keep saying that. I'm like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I hit him. And then my cousin Billy goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like, and I'm rubbing my ear. And they're like, what are you talking? I'm like, why would I hit him like that? Like, why would I start that fight? And they're like, he hit you first. I had completely forgot that he hit me first. So then I was like, all right, fuck it. We'll go back to the cabin whenever you want. So we went to like another bar, had a couple waters, sat around for like 20, 30 minutes. Then we went back to the cabin. We pull up to the cabin. We walk up. This motherfucker comes
walking. Gary's like, what the fuck happened to him?
Gary walks up. He's like, hey, I heard, man. You want to hang out by the grill?
I'm just kind of boss with you. I don't like him either.
Hey,
man.
Dude, if you need to hit one of these Bichons, I'll let you have one. So
I just picture you pulling the car in and the headlights coming up, and he's just staring there like,
yep, you're exactly right. He comes out of the front door of the cabin, and he's just standing
sloppy
there.
And shit.
Yep, yeah. No shirt, shorts on. And he's like, hey, man, peace offering. And I'm like, we're good, buddy. We're good. And he goes, no, come on, man. I made you this ham sandwich.
Come on, man. That's a good gesture.
And I go, what? He's like, dude, you know, things, just got,
four bites out of?
Things just got a little out of control. Peace offering, ham sandwich. And I go, all right, man. And I grab it, you know. And he's like, you're going to eat it. And I'm like, here, I'll eat your ham sandwich. We're good.
You drank my beer. I figured you could eat the ham sandwich.
I take a bite out of the ham sandwich. He leans over, just like he did earlier in that, and he goes, I fucking pissed on that.
I would have never eaten that sandwich. I would have thrown that shit right on the ground.
And I'm like, really? He goes, no, but I fucking wish I did.
This guy's a fucking curveball.
And I go, I slapped him on the back, and
he's
bleeding. I go, all right, buddy. And I go, walking in.
I'm going to pick rocks out of my face, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I go, all right, buddy. I go walk into the cabin. I walk into the front room. We got there's beds out there, too. It's just beds everywhere at the cabin. And I walk out of the front room. Aunt and uncle are in there. Like, what the hell happened? And I go, now, they're talking to me while they're laying in one of the
pull-out beds.
Because
they stayed
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kids, his kids, are sleeping on the floor, like right in front of me where I'm standing, you know? And I'm like, fucking dude went nuts, man. I'm like, he tried to start three fights. Why would you fight with an ex-Marine, a.k.a. a bowler, two other people? Like, he's telling people I'm going to buy him drinks. I'm like, and then, you know, I get him outside after enough and enough, and just start a fight with me. And they're like, jeez. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, oh, hey. Now he comes walking into the front room, right? And he stands next to me.
Got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Stands next to me.
You want this apple juice? I pissed for you.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. This time I did. Last time I wished it was. Do you want any of this pee? I mean,
so he's standing next to me. He goes, hey, man. I go, hey, how are you? And he's like, look.
some things happened tonight. I'm like, yeah, you talking about Gary getting let into the cabin? He goes, things happened. We put everything behind us, you know. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'm just sitting here. Look at these kids sleeping, man. You know, it's like you're connected to this family. You gotta let this.
I know you're not married. I know that's a beef with everybody, like you were talking about.
Yeah. And he goes, no, I hear you. I hear you. But I'll tell you this. What I wouldn't give you.
I'm sorry. I can't even wait to hear.
I can't wait either.
I can't wait to hear.
Dude, I'm standing there looking at these kids sleeping.
I can't even sit quiet. I know. That's what I'm thinking. These little children are on the floor right now asleep.
Well, I'll tell you. What I wouldn't give to punch you in the face.
Shut up.
He's telling you, though. Not somebody else outside.
There's no one else to tell, man. He's the only one listening.
I go, all right, man, why don't you just hit the hay, right? You be good, buddy. I'll show you something. No, no. I leave. Next, him and my cousin, they sleep in the front room in one of the other beds as well. Next morning, never comes out of that room. Never comes out of that room at all, all right? All of a sudden, my cousin comes out of the room. Everybody's been up for like 2 hours. We're making breakfast out on the fire and like we do on Sunday mornings. She goes, well. And I go, well, what? She goes, well, my boyfriend just looked at me and said, we are never coming back here again. And she looked at him and said, you probably aren't. They broke up 2 days later, never got back together again.
Good for your cousin.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's what it took.
I think so. I think it was just her being like, oh, you fucked up our place. Like, our cabin's so special to our family that they were like, no. And I'll be honest.
What was that dude's name?
I shouldn't say.
Okay.
But I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't even. It's not like you're ever going to. Oh, shit.
Man, I've been making a list of things I'd still like to yeah, because he's still the dad of my godson. So, I mean, I've seen him once in a while, and things have been cordial, and I hear that things got better for him, but that was my first fight. And most fights, it ends where it ends. This, because of our scenario, it just kept...
You've told two fights. I mean, the 6 hour fucking fight. That
yeah,
went
but that wasn't
first.
Me.
That doesn't normally end.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That didn't end normally. Yeah. And this one didn't end normally.
Yeah. What happened with Gary, man?
Dude, 2 weekends later, Gary dead in a ditch. Somebody hit him.
You're so
is that real?
I swear to God.
Oh, no. I should have been laughing. I thought you were joking.
Oh, man. Our family was
somebody
so sad.
Somebody hit him.
Man.
Who hit him?
You mean that guy punched him? Probably punched him.
Drunk driver.
I'm coming to you last, Gary.
Drunk driver rode off the road and hit him off the Weber, man.
Oh, that's sad,
yeah,
Gary.
I know. But it's a great like little chapter in my family's life. Not so much the fight part, but Gary the goat. We still be like, oh, remember Gary the goat? Dude, he just hung out with us for like 3 days, and then he was gone. It's like Stand By Me.
Did you guys feed him?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we'd give him a little stuff. I mean, it was a holiday weekend, so it was like 3 or 4 days of just hanging out with this goat.
Unbelievable.
Do you think, is this a story you could tell in enough time?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So this story, I love your guys' show because it makes me think of like whenever I think of a story, I'm like, I should keep that down in case I get to go.
I love you
three
for
times
that.
On the crab feed,
and I know you listen too because you even hit me up after all that crazy stuff. With
God
Donna.
Knows I did.
Yeah, he hit me up off from the podcast.
God knows when I had Sickler on my show. For those of you who don't know, I tweeted out. I said Ryan Sickler is going to be on the Wahlberg Solution. God knows I can't do this show by myself.
No, God knows.
I love this show. I love this show. So this was told to me by a friend of mine named Jack. He's a cop, okay? So one night, there's a Denny's over by Earwolf, actually. It's on Sunset. It's like Sunset and Van Ness.
Right by the 101.
Yep. And they got a little lawn out front. You know, Denny's trying to look nice. Are you guys diner people?
Oh, first of all, I love diners. We grew up at Denny's because it was one in my neighborhood.
So you got a special spot for Denny's, too.
I used to get tapioca pudding. I mean,
really?
Moons over Miami, sausage.
Like when Denny's finally came into our area when we were in high school, that was the local, that was the late night hang and shit like that. But I love
what's your diner. What's your diner in L.A.? You go Astro? You guys ever been Astro Diner? Like on Fletcher and Silver Lake?
You're talking about. But I go to like I went to a diner this morning. I went to Maxwell's. It's a diner on the west side.
Is it really, though?
Because there's the Sunny Spot in Echo Park.
Yeah.
$12 for a burger. That's not a diner.
No.
In my opinion, at a diner, everything should be within $3 of a $6.95. Everything should be within $3 of $6.95.
You ever go That's Cafe how you're 50s? At a diner.
No,
I like Cafe 50s.
Cafe 50s is great.
Oh, I think there's one in Sherman Oaks.
There's a few.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, I've been to
I
that
used
one.
To
I've been
be
to
a
that
reg
one.
There. Ruben yeah. Fries, Saturday
Swingers,
Ranch, Coke.
Fred 51. Yeah, those are not diners.
They're designer diners.
Yes. Yeah, I want like wood paneling.
There's like, a few like I really like in Baltimore, like Greek diners
yeah,
that
man.
I really like going to.
It's like Maxwell's. It's if you feel like you're in New Hampshire.
It's like you know what I mean? It's like 2 in the morning. There's a guy going through a divorce just drinking coffee.
Yes.
Like
diner.
Yeah, a diner.
Yeah.
I love them. Anyway, so this is at Denny's, and it's late at night. It's like a Friday or Saturday night, and like four bros.
Not a diner, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's after all that talk. Yeah.
Denny's?
That's not a diner. That's a restaurant.
Okay. Well,
but
they,
I know
say,
what you're
they say they're America's
it's got a diner,
diner
vibe.
That's why I asked
I hear you.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we used to go when there was a smoking and non-smoking section. They walk in. I thought I was so cool. Smoking and non. Like, we and non.
Yeah.
Which is really smoking.
Do you ever do that
yeah.
now?
Right.
I do that.
Right
I do that now. Do you do that now?
No.
How many? Four for smoking? They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And you say it serious, like right into their eyes, and they're like, oh, I got to tell this guy you can't smoke in here. So this is Denny's. Four guys. Picture like cargo shorts and visors. And they go in. They sit down. It's late at night. Bars are closed, right? And there's four of them. And one guy says, I don't want to eat here, man. Okay? And the other three... We're like, come on, dude. We're friendly. Like, no, I'm going to wait for you guys outside, and then we'll just walk back to the hotel. And they're like, just, we'll call him Chad. I don't know. Chad, just wait, okay? So Chad leaves. He says, I'll be out front. There's like little benches out in front, Denny's. Well, drunk dudes, as they are, take their time, eating a lot of food. They go out and they leave. They look at the benches. He's not there. Chad's gone. They're like, he probably just walked to the W or the hotel, whatever they're staying at. So they leave and leave the diner about, I don't know, I can't remember. I don't want to bullshit it, but it's probably less than a half hour, maybe like 15, 20 minutes. They start getting calls to 911 dispatchers saying that there's a sexual assault happening at the Denny's, okay? And people from inside Denny's are calling and people on Sunset are calling.
Someone getting aggressive with a grand slam over there.
Yeah, yeah. It's possible sexual assault, right?
It's a 10-1-8.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that one? Yeah.
Well, what happened was the Chad went and decided to fall asleep on the lawn, and a homeless guy came up behind him and started having sex with him.
Get the fuck out.
Yes. And so
I mean, even Gary has much better manners than that.
Hold on. The dude passed out, blackout, and a dude started fucking him.
Yeah. This 1098.
Gold mine for that guy.
This 1098 comes up behind him and just kind of nuzzles in big spoon style, undoes both their pants, and they're just having sex on the front lawn.
Oh,
and
they're not.
Well, people are calling on Sunset being like, there is a drunk, like passed out white guy having anal sex with a homeless guy on the front lawn of Denny's. Right now.
There's a weird Halloween display in Denny's. Can someone get out there?
Imagine being a homeless guy. Like, that's his lotto ticket. Like, he just found
Bingo!
Some ass. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm fucking this.
Well, so
I'm fucking this. Fucking it right here, too. In traffic's right there on Sunset.
What do I got to lose?
Hey, keep going, assholes.
I know how to get a fucking hot meal on a roof over my head tonight. I'm going to fuck this white kid on this Denny's lawn.
This is what I call over easy. So, the cops get there. And then, this is why I said having sex.
They're like, did you nut? All right. Let's get him out of here.
It's not worth it, damn it.
The cops get there. The cops get there. And this is why I said having sex. Because they were like, hey, listen, sir, you need to go to a hospital right now. You need to have like a rape kit, an AIDS kit. Like, you've got to start getting medication. You probably need a plan B. Like, we got to get you taken care of.
And you got to pay your tab inside.
You might
I don't
be
know.
Pregnant.
Just so you know, that water wasn't free. They charge you for the seat. So, but the guy kind of reacted like Chad was, I guess, was very much like, oh, no, everything's good. And they were like, no, everything's not good, man. You just had non-consensual sex. He was like, no, dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
He was in denial.
So he was either completely denial or kind of went with it. the cops really, it was murky the way that he was acting, because he was acting like he sort of knew it happened, but he didn't care to do anything about it. And so they were like, maybe he did go along with it,
because how odd is it? Wouldn't you, even if you weren't going to eat and you were at a diner with your friends, wouldn't you just sit there? Why would you go out front?
Yeah, maybe on the way in, he's like, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. So that guy gave him a wink.
Hey, man, can I get a dollar? No, but on the way, I'll let you bang me.
Well, I feel like I should tell you guys the truth. That was me. I was the homeless guy.
Come on, man.
Were you?
No.
Oh, God. No. I was like, that is the greatest prank
ever. I'm the homeless guy, yeah. Like, oh, man, I fucked this dude. Yeah, no, he just kind of was like, I don't, everything's cool.
I don't want to press charges.
They're like, what? Like, I mean, he treated me right. I feel like we're good here.
He was really sweet, man.
They've been together 6 years.
We're going bowling.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fucking crazy.
Could you imagine driving down Sunset? Donna!
Yep.
Look at this
guy's fucking this guy right here on the Denny's lawn.
Oh, man. Can you imagine walking out?
A bystander was like, did you see anything? He was like, yeah, I saw the whole thing, man. I just decided to watch.
Jay, one of the things I love about you, I feel like you're a good, you know when to stretch. Mm-hmm. And I could see you walking out of a Denny's post meal, good night. You just drank the night away or ate the night away, you know? Mm-hmm. And you just kind of give it a good stretch and be like, check out this motherfucker.
What the fuck is going on here?
Right here on a Denny's lawn.
Oh, man. My buddy's a cop. He told me that the people who responded were like getting that call, being like, what are you talking about?
And call after call started coming.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah. Sex on the Denny's front lawn.
This has been a lot of fucking fun, man. We are definitely glad you came back.
Thanks, man.
That's our time, obviously. Why don't you plug away again?
Okay. Just follow me at Daniel Van Kirk. The Wahlberg Solution happens every other month at UCB. It's usually the first Tuesday of every other month.
First what?
Tuesday. So please look out for that. But you can keep track of all that stuff by following me at Daniel Van Kirk. And if you want to check out character stuff and things that I've done, I have my own show, DVK, on the Nerdist Network, as I'm sure I've told in other episodes, mm-hmm. but people should know. Jay Larson and I have one on there as well. It's one of my most favorite things. And yeah, that's it. I'll be at Sketchfest in January. At MySpace, just Daniel Van Kirk.
And your podcast.
Yes, you're right. Those things are important. Hindsight, where I have comedian friends of mine come on. They bring 3 photos from any chapter of their life. And then we talk about the context of their life when that photo was taken. And then Scarborough County, that comes out every Tuesday. And that is with the Scarboroughs. And then the Wahlberg Solution is also podcasted on Earwolf. So
great.
Yeah.
You're the man, brother.
Thanks, man. This was great. I'd love to do a fourth, just if you're ever in need.
You'll be back. You know what I mean? Let's see what the response is.
Okay. Yeah. No, I feel you. I feel you.
Dude, that was awesome, man. Love having you around. Love being around you. Good energy. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, and all social media.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.